This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Oh, welcome to Pod Watcher, the official podcast of Watcher Entertainment. I'm Shane Vidé.
I'm Stephen Lim.
I'm Annie.
This is the show where we talk about whatever's on our minds. And today, we're talking about airports.
Networking.
Pokemon.
Nice. That's a good spread right here we have. Good spread.
If you haven't yet, hey, before we get into stuff here, quick tip. Go check to see if you're subscribed on your podcast app or on YouTube if you like the videos. And subscribe. Give us a like. Give us a rating. That helps the podcast. If you enjoy hearing us on a weekly basis, you'll be helping us thrive.
It does wonders for us. And actually, yeah, I have some news for you about that.
Well, that's
exciting. Recently was doing some research on our podcast.
Oh, that's
Matt cool. Doesn't even know about this.
You're looking at me and I'm like, okay.
He has no idea what I'm about to say. And I actually looked up the Spotify top 200 podcasts last week and we were number 200.
Whoa.
Wait, actually?
Yes. And on Apple, we were number 152.
Pretty good.
That's
just
really good.
Of all podcasts?
Well, the way it works in the US, the way it works is it's not just about how many listeners you have, because we're not that high in terms of number of listeners, but it's also about the velocity of your growth. So it's a kind of a formula of things, and we're getting up there thanks to all of you who are subscribing on those platforms. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's great.
It's cool to see your own thing on a top list.
We've run into a lot of listeners in the wild lately. It's been very fun.
Who's we?
Me and Ryan, when we're out doing our ghost hunts.
People, I haven't been there.
We had someone at the airport come up to us and they were like, guess what I'm listening to right now?
No way. They're listening to the podcast.
He showed us his phone.
He was
listening to Pod Watcher.
That's cool.
I'd be so scared if I saw you.
Did you check if they were subscribed?
No, I didn't check.
I would have been like, give me your phone.
Give me your fucking phone.
And if you are not subscribed, I'll subscribe for you.
No, I should have just thrown it on the ground.
Yeah.
No, that was at Burbank Airport, one of my favorite airports in the world.
Oh, it's one of the best.
You know it's going to be better.
What?
They're redoing the whole damn thing.
No. Oh.
They're making it an international airport.
Oh.
It's going to be stunning.
That's going to ruin it.
Yeah, this happened. That's what, yeah. That's what I think. This happened in Kansas City. We flew into Kansas City Airport a couple times to go to the Sally House, the haunted location,
yes.
Famed Unsolved episode, and then we went back for the end of Unsolved.
It's documented in a wonderful documentary.
In a wonderful documentary, worked on by Matt Rael. And when we went back to Kansas City for Ghost Files, we didn't go to the Sally House, but we flew into Kansas City, and we landed at the airport, and I was like, huh. I guess I thought I'd been to this airport before, but I guess not. It was an entirely new airport because they built the new airport like next to the old airport and just knocked the old one down. Because I was like, I was here 9 months ago.
Yeah.
There's no way they built this airport in that time. And it was just this stunning new airport.
That's crazy.
That's what they're doing with Burbank, too. They're building like a whole new chunk of airport on a different part of the land.
I want to get more into the airport thing, but also I want to, before
so
we get
much.
Further into that, we need to introduce Annie.
Yeah.
New guest of Pod Watcher.
Yeah.
But maybe our oldest friend at Watcher.
I think that's safe to say.
Oldest friend. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, let's see here. No, maybe Kate. No, you were here before. You were at BuzzFeed before Katie.
No.
You were not.
I don't think so. Katie's the oldest friend, but I'm the second oldest.
I guess
oldest.
Mark might be. For
oh,
me.
Mark is the oldest
Mark.
Friend.
Because Mark was on the very You're first right. team that I was, that I started working on at BuzzFeed. The blue team.
Well, that was like the science-y team.
Mm-hmm.
I was also on
you
blue team.
You were on
team,
blue
but,
team when you started?
But, yeah.
You
Past said, Shane's time.
Were you Shane's intern?
Yeah, I did a lot of...
A lot of debatables.
Yeah, because debatables block shots, so I was... on a ton of those. And then I also edited a couple of them.
Yeah. Mm.
I was also on your guys' team when Ryan made the first episode of Unsolved, right?
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Doc Pod.
Well, no, he made it when we were, it was kind of split between when we were on Doc Pod, which is documentary pod, and development.
They asked us to make a bunch of documentaries and we were like, cool. We're not journalists, but they wanted like these very like intense journalistic things. And we were like, you know, people go to school for this.
yeah. We're not maybe the most equipped to do that.
Yeah.
We did this a little bit too with Brittany when she was here, but I kind of want just, we don't need to go too deep into it, but what do you remember the first time you met Shane or me and what your first impression was?
I do remember the first time I met Steven because it was like, I was an intern and they encouraged us to go to the meetings. And I remember, I think it was like, you came in with a video being like, oh, this didn't perform as well as I wanted.
Classic Steven.
Oh, classic.
And I was like, who's this nerd?
Just I was a nerd.
Self-flagellating.
And then I kind of gave a thought and Steven was just like, I don't know. I remember your facial expression.
Seething with rage.
How dare she speak?
No way, really? That's funny.
No, but that's, yeah. I don't think, and then I was like your intern when we went to the county fair.
For feast mode?
I was like, I thought it was fun.
I was just fucking around.
And then Shane, I don't remember. Debatables?
We worked on a lot of debatables, yeah.
I really wanted to be on the unscripted team, so I just kept trying to push myself into unscripted. They kept putting me on weird, like,
other teams.
BuzzFeedy BuzzFeed videos. And
I remember...
Finally, I bullied them into letting me on that team.
When Annie first started, I remember thinking that you were quite shy.
I was.
You didn't talk very much.
I think that was my stomach, but I can't tell.
What was that?
It sounded like a ghost.
This is the first episode where we're wearing headphones, so we can actually hear our voices, and we're not leaning too far away from the mic the whole time. But that also means that when someone's stomach makes a noise, I can't quite tell where it's coming from. I'm going to assume that was mine because I ate 3/4 of a giant Jersey Mike sandwich for lunch.
Well, then wouldn't it not growl because you're not hungry anymore?
No, I think it's processing.
I see.
I think there's a lot going on there.
The fan's whirring on the PC.
Yeah.
It's the Celsius.
Right.
But yeah, with Annie, I remember, and then just one day she just started talking a lot. And I was like, oh, she's actually...
I did talk to you. I like became like a chatterbox whenever I talked to Steven. And I felt so sorry for you.
No. I was like, oh, she's friendly. Which you were friendly before too, but you were like,
I was very shy at BuzzFeed.
I was very shy when I started at BuzzFeed too.
I think it's because it's like a company of extroverts.
For sure.
I was like, I'm out of my element. I'm scared.
Mm. It was honestly, even when I was like in the internship and the fellowship and people would always be going out on Friday nights.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I chose not to go so much as I didn't talk to anybody and was unaware that everyone was friends.
Hey there, listeners. You know, we sometimes get into some gross stuff on this podcast. Anyway, none of it is as gross as the bacteria that you could be sleeping on every single night. Did you know that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat? It can lead to acne, allergies, and stuffy noses. Yuck! Makes me ill just thinking about it. Well, Miracle Made is here to save the day, or night, rather. Miracle Made offers a whole line of self-cleaning, eco-friendly bedding such as sheets, pillowcases, and comforters that prevent 99% of bacteria and require 3 times less laundry. And not just clean, they keep you cool too. Using silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA, Miracle Made sheets are thermoregulating and designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long, so you get better sleep every night. Miracle sheets are also luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands and feel as nice, if not nicer, than sheets used by some 5-star hotels. Go to trymiracle.com/watcher to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code WATCHER at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels, wow, and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a free refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/watcher and use the code WATCHER to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/watcher to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, but I was shy there for a long time. And I think also because prior to BuzzFeed, I had mostly worked jobs where I was the youngest person by 5 to 10 years.
Right.
So
you don't really become friends with your coworkers because they're in a different generation.
They're in a different generation. And also it was like that 2008 to 2014 era of like jobs were really, they're hard again. It's very difficult to find jobs at all times, but that was another pretty rough recession. And it was like, you know, I was like, just so hyper-vigilant to be like, don't get fired. Don't be weird. Yeah. So like, you know, at those jobs, I was always very guarded and like, I was like, don't be a weird guy around people, you know? So then when I got to BuzzFeed, I was very quiet. And now Watcher. Yeah.
And now Watcher. And then when we started Watcher, I remember thinking, oh, well, it would be great to have Annie here. And then there was just a point when we were like, okay, we need Annie. And so I called Annie while we were in the middle of a shoot.
Which shoot was it?
It was Homemade.
Oh.
And we were actually making hot dogs that day.
Oh, yeah. You were at the hot dog place.
And I remember just being like, Annie, please.
I was like,
please leave BuzzFeed and come join us.
When was that?
It's like early.
2021 summer-ish.
It was summer of 2021?
I think so.
Oh, sorry. It was Disgranted, not Homemade.
I was going to say, because yeah, Homemade.
Homemade was like,
was deep pandemic.
2019, yeah.
Can I talk about that?
Yeah.
About how the audio is lost?
Cut it out. What happened?
No, we can talk about it, of course.
Okay, well.
Hey, these things happen.
This is a very real secret. We've kept that watch for a long time, and this is the first Lucy of it coming out. So,
but we can
you
talk
might not
about,
even know about this.
We can talk about the details and like how we solved it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. The first job I had at Watcher was to fix a Disgranted episode with Simu. And like a lot of the audio had been formatted by accident.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So, but thankfully none with Simu. So it was fixable, but essentially I just edited the episode with the scratch audio, the camera audio. And, we ended up just like going to Steven's apartment and ADRing
like in the environment
we locked the cut. Whoa. And we went to Steven's
that's kind
apartment.
Of fun.
Yeah, and it was honestly a little easier than I expected.
You did Foley and like dialogue or
the entire first day of footage was lost.
Wow.
And so we
that's ADR'd a long entire, first day too.
The entire first half of the episode is completely ADR'd, including the pots and pans sounds too.
Wow.
Anybody yeah. ever say anything?
Yeah. Like, some people caught it.
I saw like 2 comments about it.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Now we speak the truth.
That did Everyone happen, because also
wait, should we explain what ADR is, by the way? Just
automated dialogue replacement.
Yeah, so basically what it is you shoot the whole thing and then you go back and replace audio with audio that you create later on. Did I explain that correctly?
No, you did. Yeah. Yeah. They put the screen up in front. Sometimes it's very fun to watch out for it in movies and television shows. One of my favorite examples of it is in Arrested Development when Tobias, it's that episode where like Lindsay has like a wolf pelt or something and Tobias is leaving with a gun and they clearly just like pumped as many jokes as they could into that where they were just adding stuff anytime someone had their back turned. And there's a part where he's leaving the house and he just says, I'm going hunting for my wife, which always made me laugh a lot.
It's very easy to find in Madam Web right now.
Oh, yes.
Because one character, almost everything he says is...
There's that shot early on where he's talking and he's in the background out of focus and his mouth isn't even moving. That's very funny.
For a movie that we talked about how we would not watch, I think with Ryan... We've talked about it twice now.
It's sitting
on Madam Web.
I'm ready to watch it. I'm ready to watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
No, I watched it. It's not worth it.
But yeah, ADR, and you guys did it for SWAT.
We did.
Really?
Yeah, because SWAT, it wasn't necessarily that we had to replace our dialogue so much as like there's a scene in SWAT when there's like, if you haven't seen it, an episode of SWAT called Gunpowder Treason, starring Ryan Bergar and Shane Madej as Eric and Ira.
Number 22 and 23 on the call sheet.
CBS's SWAT. which we shot the day before Watcher launched.
I remember thinking like, are we just gonna cancel the company now if Ryan's
they're taking off?
We went in for ADR for this scene where like our characters have like a little handheld video they shot of capturing like someone kidnapping someone, and and my character is supposed to say they're putting that kid in the car. under my breath, and I went to go through the ADR section, and they're like, okay, and I'm not even on screen. I'm supposed to be like holding the camera. So yeah. I'm not even trying to like match my lips. And they're like, okay, go ahead. And I go, you're putting that kid in the car. And they're like, okay, can you do that again? But like a little louder, and the directions just every single time I tried to do it differently, just sounded the same. They're putting that kid in the car. They're putting that kid in the car. But they probably have like 55 takes of me going, they're putting that kid in the car. Because I was like, do you want me to whisper? Or yeah, they're like, well, whisper, but vocalize. And I was like, that only sounds like they're putting that kid in the car. So I couldn't really tell how frustrated they were with me. Maybe it's just always a struggle. Probably not. But if you want to go, it's a fun app, fun app.
Line made it in the episode?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
That's the license plate from the Amber Alert. They're putting that kid in another car.
It sounded like Owen Wilson.
Yeah, 100%. It fully did. We also had to do that on when we were like in full lockdown and Ryan and I were shooting the top 5 beatdowns.
Yeah,
in our apartments remotely. There was one episode with Rie where because we were running audio ourselves and also shooting and being in the thing and monitoring the sound of the live stream, much going on. And on one of mine, the audio cut out with like 10 minutes to go. So I had to re-record all of my dialogue for that.
Yeah.
Which was weird, but
at that point, you just shoot the episode again.
No.
Can I say something? Can I own up to something?
Yeah. Oh.
I do it in this podcast all the time. I will replace something that I say.
Oh, really?
Or if something doesn't make any sense to clarify what you all are doing, I'll just re-record. Because I'm not on screen, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Very,
whoa,
very easy.
Yeah.
Or if I say something that sounds stupid, sometimes I'll re-record. Yes. Make it sound less stupid.
Honestly, in the audio commentaries, I've listened back and I'm like, this sucks. And then just re-record.
No reason.
I've never done that. I've certainly done that on audio commentaries where I'm just like, I don't know what to say here. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's me all the time. Yeah. No thoughts. Yes.
What a shocking confession.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, it's been long enough now that it doesn't matter anymore, but I didn't want that secret to be out for a while.
It was eating away at him.
That's the magic of filmmaking.
It is. It is. Also, I remember, well, when it happened, actually, when we're not going to name who wiped the card.
Also, it was not their fault.
It wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
But I remember when it happened. The point I'm not trying to put blame here, but when it happened, everybody on the set agreed not to tell me. And so I only found out about later.
That's good.
That's very smart. Because that's stressful enough for you. So
yeah,
that's something you got to bring to Steven after the fact.
Yeah.
Have you all ever messed something up on a big
show? Oh my God. I have one that haunts me. It never happened at BuzzFeed. It happened when I was working at a public access gig. Because the theater where I worked would do an annual Christmas Nutcracker. Incredibly produced. Ballet and the whole thing. Set deck. It was gorgeous. They do it every year at this performing arts center, and they would film it using like multicam because we had a whole like camera set up there. And then they would sell the DVDs to the parents of all the people.
Oh no.
And it would, earn them a nice, you know. And 1 year, for some reason, one of our bosses couldn't be there for it. And like, due to schedule, like it was the last possible night because there were like two casts. So this was like the last possible night to record the one cast doing it. And I had never set up the recording before or like I had done it once and I was like, yeah, I got this. And then the night of the recording, I went in to like set it up and I was like, this seems right. And it was on the monitor and everything was fine. And I was like, great. So the show began and I was like in the control room, like switching the cameras and doing all that. And then like halfway through during intermission, someone came down to check how it was going. They're like, oh, this isn't like routed through the recording.
Oh my
God. And I was like, it's not. And they're like, no. And I was like, oh. And they were like, oh my God. And they like walked out of the room and they like came back and set it up to record the back half of the show. But then at that point I was just like extremely, I was like, you know,
it's over.
You're just queasy and sweating.
Oh yeah.
Luckily, like no one. And I'm sure it, like what they ended up doing was essentially, here's the thing. It was shot wide enough for most of it that it's like they sold it to the one cast and were like, sorry, half of this performance is like with the other cast. You can still buy DVDs and I'm sure it was okay. And they were all very kind to me and were like, look, it's okay. It's not a big deal. I'm sure they were not happy about it. But they were nice enough to acknowledge that I still had value to them despite a pretty significant fuck up.
That is haunting. And wow.
You weren't fired on the spot.
I wasn't fired on the spot, but I certainly was like, all right, I'm going to go home now for the weekend. And oh, I was really dreading going in on Monday.
Yeah. Honestly, if you were fired, if that happened to me, I would want to be fired on the spot. The shame of it would just make me want to like just die.
But as like an employer, you're like that. You're never gonna make that mistake again, and you can trust them to do that.
Luckily, nothing like that ever happened to me at BuzzFeed. Which honestly, the public access job felt more important to me than BuzzFeed.
Oh, it's
like,
I mean,
you know, these are angry parents we're dealing with. You know, this is a force to be reckoned with.
We don't sell DVDs at BuzzFeed.
No, we never
We should have.
Did you guys ever have anything like that? That was like, because I literally thought about that like a week ago. It still like haunts me every now and then.
Every few weeks, yeah.
Yeah. No, there's plenty. I mean, I don't need to get into it. There's a lot of that.
I've had a lot. Especially with sound. Happens. Sound is rough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you look down and it's like, not recording.
Which is why you know, when it happens here at Watcher and some of our employees, I remember the first week Carter was here, he was like, oh God, I messed up the audio and it's all so bad. And then we were just like, Carter, it's fine. Like, it's
yeah,
chill.
You gotta,
he was like, he literally was like, oh, I don't know.
When you do it, it does feel like cataclysmic. But I think we're pretty good here about being like, look.
Yeah, whatever.
We can figure something out.
Yeah.
Because
unless it's disgranted and it's supposed to be your biggest episode of the season.
Well, and you figured something out.
And we did figure something out. He always figures something out.
We always figure something out.
At the end of one of our episodes, actually, of the Pod Watcher, I remember Matt chimed in and was like, hey guys, there's a card error I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's fine. We'll just, whatever. They don't get an episode this week.
That happens all the time. You just don't know about it anymore.
But you retrieved, you went into it and you rescued the data.
Yeah, I went in the forensics.
You spelunked.
That's not your fault, too. That was like a
well, it was the
error.
Day that I, but it was a piece of equipment that I brought in.
And the first day that you brought the equipment in. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
No, it happens all the time, but it's fine. Also, if you think about how often you're doing this stuff,
that's true,
and how many times you get it right,
yeah,
the percentage is like really,
we're doing really well
for sure.
We're doing great.
Well, I mean, when we were shooting in Korea for the show coming out soon, the food show coming out soon, we've been teasing this nonstop. You'll be hearing more about it next week.
I saw a cut of it today for the first time, and I loved it so much.
Well, thank you.
I was so jealous of the. It's just such a beautiful. I really liked it.
Well, you can thank Annie for some of the shots that were in.
Oh, talking about fuck ups?
No, you didn't.
No, no, I... Listen. I was scared on that trip. You, under Adam's eye. with all these shortcuts on a camera I wasn't aware of.
It was funny.
I'm sure it's all edited out, but Annie
broke a piece of equipment in the first hour.
Oh yeah,
and,
what was it? It was
a screw hole in a monitor. She like overscrewed.
To be fair,
it. Yeah.
To be fair, there were two screw holes in the same thing. How was I supposed to know?
Yeah, no.
Oh, sure.
I'm just gonna watch this and just.
Anyway, go watch that show when it comes out.
Yeah, you'll hear more about that soon.
Well, we'll get into networking now. You guys ready to talk about networking?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you and us were about to start networking.
Mm-hmm. Let's network.
Let's run a scene.
Run a sim.
What is networking for people?
God, I hate networking. I'll take that back. I love networking.
Yeah.
Could you define it?
But I don't love networking in the sense of what it usually is portrayed as.
Tell us about it, Stephen.
Well, networking typically is the idea of meeting people, connecting with them, and then finding a way to create value out of that relationship. And I've realized that I don't like going into a conversation with a
motive.
Kind of like watching a movie
without
having any context.
Sure.
Like, I want to go into a conversation not knowing anything about the person that I'm talking to. And I like the idea of networking in terms of, I just like to connect with new people. I enjoy that.
It's like Thor Ragnarok, how all the trailers showed that the Hulk was in it. And it would have been more fun to go into it not knowing that. So then when the Hulk shows up, you're like, wow, right?
Yes.
You're going into conversations knowing that the Hulk is there. And the Hulk is a business opportunity.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Okay.
I would have enjoyed that movie 10 times more if I didn't know the Hulk was in it.
Did you know that Andrew Garfield was going to be in
He was going to be the
Spider-Man?
Hulk?
Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire. Do you watch Spider-Man?
Oh, yeah. Everyone knew.
But did you know going into it? I didn't know.
I knew.
I mean, I didn't know for sure, but I was like, they're in it.
Yeah. No, but I didn't know. And that was
amazing. Well, they were just very like, you know, in interviews, they were being directly asked and they were like, no.
Movie's kind of boring, right?
I hate that movie.
What?
Sorry.
No. One of the best Marvel movies of all time.
It's one of those movies that like, it gets a pass because it's like, all right, they're all here.
I think it's flop.
They could have done a little more. They could have made a better movie.
What?
I love Spider-Man.
Hey, look, these are just opinions, man. If you liked it, you know, revel in that, you know?
I liked it.
Yeah,
thank you, Matt. Did
you? And you're a notorious. You don't like a lot of Marvel movies, right?
Yeah, but it had the guy.
It did have the.
The goblin.
The goblin is your guy.
He's my guy.
He's your Fortnite guy.
But who plays the goblin again?
Who plays him?
Mr. Defoe.
Okay.
I presume.
Sorry, I love that movie too. I just don't remember all the. There's a bunch of people in there.
Yes.
That's true.
Was crazy what you just asked. Who plays the Green Goblin?
Yeah, sorry. I knew Defoe played a villain, but I couldn't picture the villain that Defoe plays, and I was just like, I wanted to make sure it was actually
Norman's him. On sabbatical.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Oh boy.
Anyway, back to networking. So I was at this conference last week in Japan.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting insight into Japanese culture. Everybody brought business cards and you would hand them to each other. And that was like a way of showing respect. I completely forgot mine. I wish I brought mine.
You didn't bring business cards to a business conference?
No, but I went in not knowing what even to do expect from the conference. I was just going in to have a good time. But I realized, and this is where I'm really getting to with this networking thing, is when I'm in a conversation with somebody at a conference, I oftentimes feel trapped.
Sure.
And I found myself at many times during this conference talking to somebody for over 15, 20, 25 minutes. Oof. And I do not know how to exit conversation.
I feel like all parties should have a little, and this is a business party like you went to, or just regular party. They should have a little bell that chimes every 10 minutes.
There should be.
It's like, you got to move on.
Yes.
Like speed party. Yeah, like speed dating, essentially. But like, no matter who you're talking to, you got to mix it up right now.
Yeah.
A big gong or something, or like a dong, you know, you got to mix it up. Just because like some people aren't always hip to those like social cues where you're like, all right, I gotta go.
Well, that's the
thing. Gotta go drink some punch or something.
What do you say when you are like, so this is my problem. Okay, let me just start with.
I don't say anything. I stay in a conversation. I will happily exit any conversation, but I will also, if a person is talking to me, you know, I'll do like the thing where it's like, I might go grab a snack over there or something, but otherwise if they're, you know, talking to me, I'll be there for an hour and 20 minutes or
same.
Something.
Same. Yeah. Well, and the thing is,
Andy's really good at it.
Is good at what? Moving on. She is.
Moving
she
out is. Of a conversation.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. You did it to me.
What? Damn.
Whoa. No, in a great way.
Oh. You got networked.
I got networked.
I just remember you talking to me. You this morning and you're walking out the front door.
Oh, I'm always moving in another direction. That's my Matt thing. Ran
I've never seen you me. Not moving.
Yeah, I was sitting at, No. But we were talking and I remember you being like, I think you said something that I was like, I'm going to steal that. And it was something like, I'm going to go say hi to some other people. Because it was honest.
That's good.
And it was honest, but it was also
I have no memory of this, but I'm glad I did that.
Well, the issue I have is I want to be honest. I have a hard time lying to people.
Right.
So it's to me to say like, oh, I got to use the bathroom or oh, I want to get some pie. Like, it's not like I don't really want to do that. So I hate saying that. So what happens in my brain is I want to say to them, this conversation has run its course.
What? That you should do that.
It goes in my. I'm like, and now I'm not even listening to them. I'm just saying that in my brain over and over again. And I won't be like, and let's move on.
I like the thought of you just saying that in the middle of them speaking, like in the middle of a sentence. This conversation has run its course.
Just put your finger up to their lips.
Terminus.
But I want to be. That's a good honest one. Like, oh, I'm gonna go say hi to some other people.
That's exactly what you're gonna do. And if you see, like, if you say I'm gonna go pee and then you don't go pee, people are like,
they're watching.
Yeah,
wait a second.
One of my favorite possible, and I'll let you get to more networking minutiae here in a moment. But one of my favorite functions that you can step into, one of my favorite roles at a party or something, is when there are established like conversations going on around and you can sort of like spy ones where you're like one or both of these people feel trapped in this conversation right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to parachute in and inject a little life into this and then see if I can like break it up and let them go on their separate
Damn.
Ways.
Wow, that's so kind.
It's fun to do if you can like hop around to different people.
You're Monsieur Webb.
I'm Monsieur Webb.
You get in there. And you save the day.
That's
he
right.
connects them all.
Yeah.
Disconnects them.
And you can't always do that, but sometimes the conditions are right.
You can disconnect
right.
or connect them?
Disconnect. You want to show up, inject some new energy into it, and then like one or both of them will like seize the opportunity and see the paradigm shift.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll break things up or, you know, you can do it for them. It's fun.
You're a superhero.
Hey, I'm just a guy.
I'm also such a people pleaser that I will just continue until they finally realize that they should stop. And I'm just exhausted.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay.
So do you also
great,
have a hard
great
time?
Great talk.
Getting, do you also have a hard time?
Yeah, I'm just like, I do feel trapped and I usually don't stop the conversation.
So when we were talking, it must have. I, must
I mean,
have been
we're
like
friends.
Well beyond
yeah.
the limit where you.
No,
Jesus Christ!
It's like acquaintances or people I've just met. I'm just like
you don't feel comfortable saying.
No, I'm just like I want to make them happy, and I don't want to be the one to break this up. But so I just let them talk until they're tired.
Yeah, I never feel this way with like friends.
No, I'm comfortable. With just
it's like, usually when it's
later.
Like one. It's like. Not full friends or just like slightly removed where you're like, okay. I don't want to be rude. So Stephen, you went all the way to Japan and talked to one person. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
That's right. That's right. And I realized afterward that, Annie saw some of this and, you know, before the pandemic, I was very social, went out a lot, met a lot of new people. Now I just want to be home with my dogs and I just want to like, chill, you know, be a watcher, make some shows, just go home, sleep. That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the big thing for me is networking. I don't know that I'm good at it or proactive about it. Cause I'm I would have to leave the house to know that.
Yeah.
And I'm not leaving the house to go to like functions, you know?
For sure. And I used to look down on networking too a little bit, you know, the LA spirit of like people using other people.
Hey, get that bag, you know?
But also, no, I've come around to it. I'm like, I'm team network for people. If they know what they want, they can do it in a tasteful way. I support that completely.
It's certainly a skill. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, it's a skill that I respect, but I've got no taste for the thing. No hunger. I don't have that dog in me. You know?
Annie, are you, you're not a, what do you describe yourself as, a networker?
I will network if I'm incentivized to. Like, I watch YouTube, and I have, like, a couple people where I'm just like, I would love to work with them, and I will make this happen.
I've never pinned you as a networker, Annie, but you just have so many, you just know so many people and are friends with so many people.
I don't know.
It surprises me.
It seems like you are part of a secret underground society. Annie, you sort of notoriously, even when we were at BuzzFeed, you were like Varys from Game of Thrones.
Is that Littlefinger?
No, he's no, the, no Varys my, is the one that had his little birds.
Who's Vera?
Varys?
Oh, Varys.
Isn't he the bald guy? Littlefinger is Aiden Gillen, right?
I've never seen the show.
Varys, I think, is the bald guy, you know, the eunuch.
And what?
I'm the bald guy.
I am the bald guy.
And what is Vera's character that
he has little birds who whisper gossip to him, all the information from around the country.
That is Annie.
Littlefinger was like sort of his, they were like, you know, a pair because they were always like scheming together. So I could see Littlefinger also. I don't think you're a very schemey person.
I can scheme to make someone work with us.
Well, that's
good.
Producing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
You're a professional.
I'm producing.
You scheme professionally.
Yeah. Listen, we got guests I like, and it was because I was scheming.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that you're not just like, I mean, you find a way to make it worth, we're not just reaching out to random people, like these people who like,
No.
Who make sense. You know, Korean Englishmen, you made that happen.
I cold emailed them one day, and I was like, hey, I want to work with you. And then they emailed me back a few months later.
Nice lads.
Yeah. And I was like, Steven's here. You want to work with Steven?
Oh. Are they in Korea still? Or are they in England?
They bounce back and forth.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll be there when we're in London.
You should reach out. They're based in London.
Yeah.
I have a networking pet peeve, which is that sometimes when you go network, and there have been times where people are like, oh, I remember you from BuzzFeed. And they like kind of chat, and I'm like, great. And then they shove their phone in my face with their Instagram up.
You're right.
And
what do they want you to do?
They type my, they're like, what's your Instagram? Yuck. And they like type my Instagram in and like follow me in front of me. And
they follow you in
front like
of
very,
you.
Yeah. And then they're like expectantly looking at me. Well,
like, pull out your phone.
So I do it. And then I soft block them later. I'm just like, this isn't, we're never going to talk again.
No. If you want to piss Annie off, follow her in front of her face.
Don't put your phone in my face.
Don't put your fucking phone in her face.
No.
Yeah, no,
that's never happened to me.
It's normal now, though. It does. That's a very normal
networking
thing.
It's really weird. I think it should be a faux pas, but
it should be.
Yeah. It happened when I was in Japan, actually, but it happened on LinkedIn. And so I was like, I don't know how to use this thing.
Oh,
they were like, hey, put your LinkedIn here. And I was like, I would type my name. And I was like, I don't see myself on here. Okay, sorry. There's a million Steven Lims out there.
I think I shut down my LinkedIn a very long time ago.
That's
and
for
I hadn't
the best.
Used it very much anyway.
It's useful sometimes.
It's the new Instagram, baby. People are out there.
I don't want to be a part
statuses.
Of that. A new Instagram?
People are posting things on there. Like it's like kind of work related.
I should open one up and only post things that won't get me hired anywhere. Because I don't intend to be hired anywhere else. I promise you that. Watcher.
Yeah, bury your bones at Watcher.
Bury my bones at Watcher.
Good merch.
We should sell a t-shirt with three headstones that are just Steven Lim, Ryan Bergara, and Shame a Day.
Well, that's networking for you. Fun topic. Actually, way more fun than the topic may have seemed. So
everyone's got to do it.
I'm glad.
I don't think you have to.
Or have fun not working.
I don't know. You can get jobs and not network, right?
I had
all the jobs that I, and granted, I had a very hard time finding jobs. There's a reason it took me like 10 years after graduating college to move out to LA.
Next topic. Who wants to go next? Annie, do you want to go next or do you want to go last?
I can go next.
Pokemon.
Great topic.
Why I pick Pokemon? I don't know. I was just thinking about, for context, I haven't really played the new ones, but I was a Pokemon fanatic. And I was just thinking back on like the Pokemania in the 90s and like the early 2000s. And I want to feel that high again. I will never feel as happy as I was back then when I was like fully obsessed and there was no internet. So all the rumors were really fun.
That sounds fun.
What rumors were you talking about?
You know,
about?
Like,
there were rumors in Pokemon.
There's another Mew. There's another Mew.
And like the games would come out first in Japan. So like, but you wouldn't really hear about it. But I would like see like a picture of Meryl and be like, oh my God, Pika Blue. Oh my God, there's a new Pikachu. It's Pika Blue. And like, you know, all these just like.
Is Pika Blue real?
No.
Oh.
People are like, oh my God, it looks like, kind of like Pikachu. It must be Pika Blue. And it's just like the new generation. So I was just like, this is the fucking best.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was really like it was. I don't think kids will ever experience that.
Maybe they do.
I don't know.
What about Fortnite? That's fun.
Minecraft.
I feel like
Minecraft. Maybe people.
People do get so excited about like new Fortnite lore and like.
Do they?
There's like a storyline to it that I don't understand.
Oh, I love the Valorant lore.
Is there Valorant lore too?
Deep into it, yeah.
I don't know what is exciting for children nowadays. Oh, what about
Minecraft?
I think the difference there is
they still like Minecraft?
I think so.
Because I was going to say Minecraft, when you were like, I've never experienced that joy that I did in the 90s with Pokemon. I was like, that was for me with Minecraft in 2011.
But when you were a fully fledged adult.
I was like 25. I really liked Minecraft when it first came out.
I think the difference between Pokemon back then and now is that everybody knew about Pokemon.
Yeah.
It felt like it was like movie stars back in the day where everybody knows these movies. But now it's like everything's niche. So you don't have like one giant event like Pokemon that can touch everybody.
Saturate the culture.
Yeah. I think it was just like of the times as well. Now the internet is just everything is accessible. And
what's the last big thing like it is because it's like there's like the case could be made for like television, like there's so many shows now that it's hard for something like there's not going to be another MASH where people are like
right
everyone in the world watched this the finale of MASH
Seinfeld
it's right. Probably Marvel to be honest for a bit
Marvel
people being like oh no they're teasing this person
yeah I think that was
but now that's example. Sort of receded
for sure.
What's it going to be?
Watcher?
Yeah.
Did you, speaking of Pokemon, did you play the games, Annie?
Oh, yes. That's why I was also thinking about it, because really, what your first game was is a marker of time and your age.
For sure.
My first was Red and Blue.
You played both?
Well, my sister had Red.
Oh, so yeah.
I had Blue.
You had Blue?
That's ground floor.
Yeah, I was just, and I feel... ancient.
Blue is the first. It is the first one.
It's
and
the
then
first
yellow
one.
Was after. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
First.
Wow. Why did you get blue and your sister get red?
I don't know. I gravitated towards the turtle, Blastoise. But yeah, I still like. For some reason, I've curated my Twitter feed. Maybe I just interact with too many things, but I have so much like old Pokemon art on my feed. Do you know like Ken Sugimori, the artist who did all those like old drawings of the Pokemon? I still get this like really strong reaction when I looked at them and like the old Pokemon booster packs. I'm like, I fucking want it.
I witnessed the joy actually that Annie has with Pokemon in Korea.
Yeah.
Because she and Lizzie.
They found
a vending machine that sells these like Korean style Pokemon booster packs.
Yeah.
You know, you can open them up and then get like random holographic cards.
But they were only the first 151.
Which is, yeah, it's crazy.
That's only
the first gen.
Yeah.
but they literally bought so many of these booster packs from the vending machine that the vending machine ran out. They bought like over like 100.
No, Adam and Andrew also bought them. So okay. It was
yeah, the combination of them sucked that machine dry.
That's fun,
yeah.
That's a fun souvenir.
Oh, it is. It's really fun.
It's completely useless, but I got the rare one, so.
Nice. Are those like holographic?
Yeah.
Oh.
I got Mew. I don't know. Now they're like full screen, like shiny.
They do crazy stuff with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, things you know have
how
evolved.
Many, how many Pokemon there are now?
Well, how many games?
Do you know the answer?
Yeah. We'll look at it.
20, I'm going to guess.
2,200.
895.
900.
1,025. Pokemon.
That's crazy.
Some of them look like motorcycles, right?
Yeah, they're going crazy with it.
I actually just bought that game in Japan because the conversion rate. And it's weird. It's a weird game.
Did the graphics improve?
Yeah, the graphics are great and now it's open world, but it's like fun, but way too easy. I don't know. Everything has changed. I don't know. I just feel like an old geezer because I didn't play the middle generation. So I was just like, telling me what types are super effective? Like, you should know that. Memorize it.
I wish I would have played it when I was younger. I was like really out of the loop on it. I was busy playing other games on my Game Boy.
What are you playing?
Wario Land.
Oh, good game.
You know?
Great game, actually.
I really loved the Wario series. Kirby. I was a big Kirby guy. Mm. A lot of Nintendo stuff. I don't know why. Pokemon. And, you know, when other classmates started talking about Pokemon, I was like, these guys look good. Pikachu was really trending, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I like everything that's going on here. One of my friends showed me Jigglypuff and told me about the song he sings. I was like, I like that too.
But so you know quite a bit for not having ever played the games or watched a TV show.
Yeah, I mean, I've absorbed stuff over the years. I saw the film.
Snorlax? Oh, you watched the film! Which one? The one with...
Detective Pikachu.
Okay, the bad one with Ryan Reynolds.
I had a good time.
I realized looking back now, when I played the games, I could only beat them because I had the guidebook.
But I love the guidebook.
I don't think I would have beat the games without it.
That's why. Everything is too accessible. You have to work for it.
Yeah.
You have to work out the puzzles yourself.
Yeah, because there was like a whole cave. You couldn't now you get just, through the cave because it
yeah.
was dark.
Yeah. Now you just go on IGN.com and they just tell you exactly
how. Yeah, you could still look up stuff on the internet back in the day because I did that.
Yeah, but...
I didn't. I literally only had the guidebook to tell me how to...
Though I did have Echo the Dolphin for Sega Genesis and I couldn't beat the first level and I was like, fuck this. I never touched it.
Oh, but I also wanted to talk about Pokemon because, like, I am so out of the loop and there are so many technicalities that I don't understand, but now all these YouTubers are doing like Nuzlocks and
the heck is a Nuzlocke?
Oh, and, the new Nuzlocke challenge.
Yeah, and trying to catch as many shinies as you can and like hatching shinies and
what is the Nuzlocke thing? I've seen that. Is it like a set of rules that you have to adhere to when you play?
It's just like you create these like artificial challenges for yourself and uh-huh. people stream them on Twitch or whatever. But I think a Nuzlocke is when you have a team, but you can't ever heal them. Matt, can you?
Yes. I know that one of the main tenets of it is that when a Pokemon dies,
you can't use it anymore. Yeah.
You gotta release it.
The name of a Pokemon?
Nuzlocke was the name of a creator, I think. Anyway, it has two rules that must be followed. A player may only catch the first wild Pokemon encountered in each area and no others.
Mm.
And when a Pokemon faints, it is considered dead.
Damn.
There's so many rules.
Anyway. I just feel like, you know, I'm a person who, if a video game has a story mode,
yes.
you know, it'll be like medium or it'll be like novice mm-hmm. /easy/intermediate/hard. I want baby mode. I want like full baby.
Mm.
So I can't even fathom just making up non-existent rules.
Yeah, people love
impede the game further.
There's so much content out there that
I guess for content I can fathom that.
But
I love
there's
content.
So much.
Yeah.
Pokemon content.
So it is still booming.
It's booming.
Oh, it's huge. It's the number one most lucrative franchise ever in existence.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Ash dead?
Ash is gone. He's graduated, but he didn't die.
Okay. So he's finished.
Is he older?
I don't think so. I think he's
just a boy still?
I think he's still 10.
Oh, Ash has become world champion. Spoiler alert.
Does he look the same though? Same age and everything?
Is he married?
He moved on. I don't think they have like a Harry Potter style, like sending his kid to the training school.
How did he die?
He didn't
die. Will Ash die?
So how will Ash die?
Does anyone die in Pokemon?
No.
It's for children.
I don't think. Well, I think there were some pretty dark episodes in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, because Cubone specifically.
Cubone's mother.
Cubone wears mother's skull.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why I wanted
him. You know a lot about Pokemon.
I know the most I can for someone who doesn't know much.
You can really escape it.
Yeah.
Back then.
Many people, because it is a very popular franchise, are screaming at their computer and phone right now.
I'm sorry.
I'm old.
Because of how little we know about their favorite thing in the world.
Hey, you know what? You can make up for that. Go to if you're not watching it on YouTube, go to YouTube, watch a video, tell us a fun Pokemon fact in the comments.
Yeah,
who's your favorite Pokemon?
Who's your favorite Pokemon?
Are you baiting them into engaging with our content?
Yeah, I'm baiting them. No, I'm inviting them warmly.
Okay. Gotcha.
Asking them desperately.
Please. Tell me about Pokemon. They seem fun. What's going on with Mew? Mew's like a... Is Mew scary?
No, Mew's nice.
Mew always gave me the vibe. Is Mewtwo scary?
Mewtwo's scary.
Mewtwo's misunderstood. Movies? He's very philosophical.
Yes.
Oh.
If you watch the first movie.
He and the professor would honestly get along.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't Mewtwo one of the main antagonists? Or
yes, in one of the movies, he's the main... No, it's like Pokemon the movie, I think.
I wouldn't want to see CGI.
From Mewtwo. What I gathered when I was younger...
We should get Mewtwo on Puppet History, by the way.
Mew and Mewtwo were like that. It reminded me of like those old X-Men episodes where they would be going through the Phoenix Saga and I'd be like, this is too dark for me, a child. I can't, I can't grapple with whatever's going on with Jean Grey right now. Mm.
No, Mew is in Detective Pikachu.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah,
but Mewtwo is the main antagonist of, I think, Pokemon the movie.
Yeah.
He talks.
Yeah.
Scary.
Wait, you know what? Speaking of childhood scaries,
yeah.
I finally remembered what scared me as a child. It was the original Willy Wonka movie.
Yeah.
No, I was really scared of that.
That
too.
Scared me
when they're
silly.
In the boat?
It scared you silly. All of the things that happened to the kids.
Yeah.
And even the Oompa Loompas were creepy.
Sure.
I didn't like how sweaty he looked as well. I don't know. Something
Gene Wilder?
Just the way they shot movies back then.
Certain movies in the 70s, where they were just
really
like
sweaty and
we don't need makeup.
Uninviting. I don't know.
You would have preferred Gene Tamer.
Yes. Are you going to ADR that joke?
No, I'm going to put laughter.
No, it's that movie's. I want to watch it now because I want to. Like, see how not scary it actually is, but as a child, you know, when that kid turns into a blueberry.
Violet.
Is that, oh, that's Violet.
Yeah, Violet, you're turning.
Maybe, was
you're
Violet,
turning Violet, Violet.
Was Violet named after? Actually, I think I asked her and she said no, but.
Violet.
Oh, Watcher Violet.
Watcher Violet.
But yeah, Jeremy Allen White looks just like him, so I'm sure they'll remake it.
Does he?
Again.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are clamoring for Jeremy Allen White.
He was on like Seth Meyers or some late night talk show at some point, and they were like, have you heard about this? He's like, yeah.
I don't think he wants to be Willy Wonka.
Isn't he already being booked
no
for
more
different,
Willy Wonka?
He's on a different show now, right? I saw he's done something else now.
Another show?
Or a movie?
He's in a movie.
Oh, it's a movie.
Iron Claw.
He's in Iron Claw. But there's another movie that they're teasing with it. I want to say Zendaya. Doesn't matter. No one cares.
No one cares.
Oh gosh. I hope they do another Detective Pikachu. That's the best Pokemon content there is.
Actually, you know what they did really well in Detective Pikachu is they built a beautiful world.
Yeah, they did.
They built a beautiful world.
To me, a Pokemon noob, someone who's barely interfacing with the IP, it's great to see all those little Pokemon on the big screen.
It was. They look kind of scary.
Yeah.
And some of them look furry when they shouldn't have, but I like the world.
Yeah.
There was a lot of CGI and it looked pretty good.
Did Pokemon fans like it or no?
Sounds like they hated it.
No, it has low rating on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
it was wacky. It looked wacky and I was like, oh, I like this. And I did not.
Well, that was Pokemon.
It was Pokemon.
Airports is what we're talking about now.
I'm excited for this one.
I like them.
All right. That's the episode.
All right.
I don't know. I was actually the other day, I was watching a video that was, it was like a 55 minute explainer about all the changes that are going to be happening at LAX.
Oh, tell me some of them. I'm not a
tram,
no.
Right? There's a tram coming.
They're building the tram.
Is it for the Olympics? Is that why it's happening?
Yes, a lot of the changes or the plans were put in place to be in effect by the Olympics. And then there was a chart that they showed where they're like, and here's the timeline, and you'll see that most of these things are not on track to be finished by then. I've lived in LA for going on 10 years now, and the LAX experience, it's arguably one of the worst airports in the entire country.
Yes.
Even Ryan admits this. He puts his LA pride aside and will tell you that it's just abysmal.
I'll also put my LA pride aside.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I recently got to experience the one good thing of LAX.
What's that?
The red door.
The private suites. Have you heard of the private suites before?
No, I haven't.
It's for the rich.
Oh,
I didn't pay for it, but...
Did you run into Goop over there?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Did you fly Goop Air?
No, so do you know anything about... have you guys heard of private suites before? It's like $5,000 yes. for a membership.
Yes.
And then you have to pay on top of every time you use it. But it's so...
It's
nice.
Like Club 33 for the airport.
No, nothing like Club 33. Because no. Club 33, I don't like.
They like shuttle you over, right, to the plane.
And... You go into a special area, you have your own little suite. It's like almost like your own hotel room.
This is like what Willem Dafoe is flying.
Well, we ran into, and you probably don't
Who'd
know
Who'd you
this
run
name.
Into?
You don't know this
guy?
Name.
Sports guy?
Yeah, you don't know this name either. You might know this name, but probably not. Stephen A. Smith.
What?
Oh, I know him.
You know Stephen A. Smith?
He's was he on ESPN or
he
something?
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
He was there.
I have enough friends who are sports heads that I've seen clips of him. He seems
also,
like a funny guy.
He says out-of-pocket stuff that breaches, you know, regular sports.
Yes. Yeah.
He said something about Fortnite recently that what got the
oh,
Fortnite
fans Oh, I did see
going.
That, where he, yeah.
He was like, I want to be a Fortnite skin or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But anyway, it's you go there and then you just tell them when your flight is, and then they just, like, whenever they're ready, they will drive you from the suite all the way...
To the plane,
and you just cut the line and you go straight to your seat.
Ooh la la.
It's pretty nice.
Well,
must be nice.
Me personally.
Sorry, okay, not to.
I actually like the classic airport experience because I love airports in the same way that I love malls, which is I just like to be there in the hustle and bustle of it all. I like to get there early.
Yeah, we both love to sit.
Oh, it's the best.
For hours.
Yeah.
Wait, how early do you get there?
Well,
it can't be as early as Annie.
We've talked about this before.
I think it might be.
Ideally, I like to get through security with at least an hour to kill before boarding
time. Oh, actually,
time.
Never mind.
No. What about international? Let's talk about international.
Well, international, I've flown international very rarely in my life. I haven't really flown overseas a lot to the point where I don't have like good gauge for, you know, protocol for these things. I've told this story before, but when we went to London
yeah.
for VidCon with Watcher in February, March of 2020, it was right before
February
COVID. We were sitting around Watcher talking about our travel habits, and I was like, I like to get to the airport with like 2 hours to kill. That's me. And like Katie LeBlanc and a bunch of other people, I don't know why I'm singling out her, but they were like, that's crazy. Why do you show up so early? That's nuts.
I didn't say that, but it wasn't me.
Was like, I don't know, because I like it. They're like, oh, it seems like a waste of time. And I was like, maybe I'm uptight about this. So then the next day, we were flying to London, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do some chores around the house, clean this up, so when Sarah gets home from work, it'll be nice and tidy. And then I went to the airport and I got to the gate and I was like, I'm cutting it pretty close here, or the, you know, the ticket counter. And I walked up to it and I was like, here you go. Here's my bag. And they were like, oh, we can't get this on the flight. And I was like, why not? And they're like, 'cause it boards in 20 minutes. And I was like, yeah, I'm just, you know, playing it casual.
And you were aware?
Well, I was like, I think I just overshot it. Because I, as someone who tends to get there 2 hours early, I don't know like how close you can cut it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh. And they were like very apologetic. They were like, yeah, unfortunately, you can't get on this flight. And I was like, is there another one after this? And there was like, there's one in like 4 or 5 hours. And I was like, oh, great.
What airline was that again? We should shout them out because that's not normal for most airlines.
I don't remember. Yeah, it just so happened.
I think it was American, I think.
I think it was.
Did they put you on standby or did they give you
They just had one. And we were not paying for the flights. It was through VidCon. So that it was business class, which was incredible.
I didn't buy business.
They didn't put you on business?
No, they only flew you and Ryan business.
Oh, that was great. That kicked ass.
Well, now you got your own private suite.
Not bad. They were like, well, we've got another seat in like 4 or 5 hours. So I was like, that's perfect. Because now I can just chill in the lounge. It was an ideal situation. That was the one time I tried to play it cool. So ever since then, I've always tried to show up very early. Have you guys ever had like a close call that? Or
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like that was our own doing.
Yeah,
or
a connection that was
no.
Oh,
and he's like, only if Steven shows up late to the airport.
Yeah, no, not me. Well, I had a connecting flight from Chicago to Copenhagen, and it was delayed, so I had to sprint through Heathrow and just they were like you're not gonna make
it. Was it just like Love Actually?
I can't tell accents apart. That sounds very Scottish.
Love Actually. Is that better?
But I made it, but I felt like throwing up the whole flight.
I was because you were just running so much?
Yeah, and I was so dehydrated, I was just like shriveled up in the plane.
That happened on our recent Ghost Files trip. So we were flying from West Virginia to our connecting flight was in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is a beautiful airport. I've been there before and I love that airport. So a lot of restaurants, a lot of moving sidewalks, a lot of rocking chairs, which I appreciate in an airport. But I have never been in a rush in that airport.
Mm.
And it so happened that our first flight got delayed by quite a bit. I can't remember if it was weather or what, but, the issue was we got on the plane, our first flight, and there was like a bunch of troubles going on. They were like, oh, it'll be here eventually. Then we got on and then they were like, all right, we're going to have to deplane because the wheel is broken or something. We were like, okay. Eventually we got on. We got to the connecting flight airport with very little. We had about 20 minutes before boarding ended. And the Charlotte airport is essentially one long line. And we were at one end of it. And our next flight was at the other end of it.
They don't have like
There's no train. There's no nothing. So this airport that I've loved in the past, suddenly I saw it in a whole new light. And it was not very complimentary. Because I was like, what the fuck? Why would you build an airport like this? So we got off and I was like, well, you know, I'll walk pretty fast. And Ryan, of course, got off and just started running.
Yeah, he ain't missing that flight.
Sprinting.
He's going back to Vinny, no matter what.
He wanted to really, you know, Ryan rises to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a moment of peril.
Oh, he loves to rise to the occasion.
He will rise to the occasion.
And he does rise.
And run across that airport and sweat and then get there. And then I just sort of walked at a brisk pace and then got to the gate. plenty of time. I was like,
you know, you have very long legs though.
That's
maybe,
true.
Maybe he
had you took two steps and you were there.
But the part of the issue was is that some of us had to, you know, when you get on a plane they're like, oh, there's no room overhead, you got to check your bag right here. Some of us had to wait. Some of the people on our crew had to wait to get their bags.
Yeah.
So then we got to the gate where our next flight was and we were like, we've still got a couple people who are hauling ass over here. Is there any possibility that you can hold the door open for just a couple minutes? And they were like, no.
That's insane.
Yeah, pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
We were like, really? And they were like, yeah, the cutoff is like, you know, it was like 8:20 or something. And we were like, okay. Luckily, every one of us made it. But It was by like a minute. It was very, very close. We were like, is it awful to get on this plane and leave someone here? Because like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, is that
but,
rude?
But Lizzie was there and Lizzie was like, get on the plane.
Yeah, I heard Lizzie was just like, everybody get in.
Yeah. I was like, but we can't leave. And she was like, get on the plane.
That does sound like Lizzie.
So like little Nikki.
Lizzie doesn't sound like that. I have a very cartoonish Lizzie impression. It doesn't actually sound like her.
Anyone ever missed a flight?
Get your soft sweet. Yeah, many times. Many times.
Have I ever missed a flight?
Yeah, you missed the one in London.
The one in London, mm-hmm. And then the other time when it came very close when Sarah and I went on a trip to Copenhagen in Iceland several years ago. On our flight back, the connecting flight was in Iceland, and we were running through the airport.
I remember this.
And at some point, we got to a turnstile where you had to like swipe your boarding pass, and it turned red or green, and Sarah's turned green, and she went through, and mine, for some reason, turned red. And I was like, what? And I just went through with Sarah.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know if this is illegal. But I'm just going to keep going. We don't have time to kill. I was like, whatever the issue is, if it's an issue, they can sort it out when I'm like getting on the plane.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And sure enough, we got up to the plane and I scanned my thing and it turned red. And they were like, "What? How are you here right now?" And I was like,
"Oh, it turned green.
I don't know what you're talking about." And they were like, "You need to come with us." And
what?
They took me to a little room. And they like, they were all very, very polite Icelandic people, but it was a little room and they were like, empty your pockets. And I emptied my pockets. I apparently got flagged for a random screening, but there was the thing was, there was nobody around. It was just this like turnstile. And I was like, if I don't go through this, there's not going to be anyone here to like talk to about right. this. So I just went through. Yeah. When I was in the little room, they made me empty my pockets and they made me like do like a catwalk strut across the room and back.
No way.
I don't know what the purpose of it was. They were like, take your shoes off, empty your pockets, walk to that wall, and then walk back. I was like, okay. And that's I did funny. That. And then they were like, you're good.
Did you get on the plane?
And then I got on the plane. Nice. But Sarah, I was like, just get on the plane and I'll
go home.
I was like, if they don't take off, you know, or if they take off without me, that's, you know. But luckily I got on the plane.
Help Obi. Think about Obi.
Do you guys have a favorite airport?
Singapore.
That's the one everybody loves, right?
Singapore.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the big, like, rainfall?
Sky Garden.
It is.
Sky
Garden. Yeah.
The movie theater.
They have a hotel next door that we stayed at.
I feel like everybody talks about that Singapore airport.
Oh, man, it's beautiful. Well, it's because they're very... They built the airport...
We built this airport!
as a vanity. Like, to appear...
Well, it's for, like, people who are traveling internationally and maybe, like, have... time to kill.
It's a major hub, right?
Yeah.
Major for hub.
Of, it's the Dallas Fort Worth of
wow.
The world.
I've been to that airport more than any other airport.
Yeah, I've been to
life.
That airport. My parents used to live in Dallas. Yeah. So I don't love that airport, even though it is the most efficient airport.
It is a very efficient airport. They've got a great tramway.
I'm just saying everybody flies through there to go.
Yeah. But it's great because that airport, you can pick up the passenger basically at their gate, because once you get off your gate, you go straight into the exit, like, and it's all lined up, so
that's
it's actually
true.
Very, very efficient.
Yeah.
So it is a great airport, but I don't know. I just
it's very excessive though,
it
which
is
nice.
It's just it's a real big,
yeah,
a big one, big yeah. boy.
I like the new LaGuardia. Have you guys been to the new LGA?
I don't think I've been there.
I haven't been to New York since we shot Worth It.
Whoa. Don't you fly to New York a bunch? You fly to
We usually fly JFK? Into JFK.
I actually like JFK.
I like JFK.
It gets a lot of crap.
I mean, it's like, it's better than LAX. You walk outside, you get picked up, it's easy. Yeah. LAX, you gotta like walk through a bunch of construction sites to get to the lift center, and
mm-hmm.
I weep for anyone who's flying into LAX and doesn't know much about it.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. Especially if you're an international traveler and you don't speak English that well.
Oh, yeah, you're screwed.
You guys been to my beautiful O'Hare?
Yeah. I mean,
beautiful?
For your wedding.
Yes, my beautiful O'Hare.
Beautiful? Oh,
wedding.
I don't know about beautiful, but it's
no,
fine.
Yeah, when you go through that, like, where you stand on that walkway and Lights are like shimmering above you.
The United.
Yeah.
I forgot what they call that. That was designed by an Imagineer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's always a welcome sight.
Yeah.
I just like to go into the Garrets at in the airport.
That's fun. O'Hare around the holidays is just gorgeous.
I've not been there.
Because obviously it's featured in the Home Alone films. So.
Oh, right. That. Yeah.
But it's just you get off, there's like people playing little piano tunes, little Christmassy piano songs, people eating at the Macaroni Grill.
Maybe I need to spend more time in O'Hare Airport.
You should.
I never felt that way there. I felt that way in Atlanta.
If we could do the show where we spend time in airports, I would love to take you there.
Yeah.
I would love to do a series where we just spend time in airports.
Annie, you want to direct it? Annie wants to travel for work.
As long as I don't have to handle the permits.
Yes.
My favorite is Portland's. It's very small but empty.
It's a nice airport. Great carpet.
Gray carpet. And they don't raise the prices of any of the food or like.
Oh, really?
The wares. Yeah. It's crazy. And there's no tax.
Also, because it's Portland, or maybe I'm thinking of Seattle. No, I think Portland has a lot of this too. In their airport, like you go to the, like in LA, you go to the like little gift shop and it's like little Hollywood signs and little clapboards. In Portland, it's just like salmon.
And I buy jam there.
It's like a lot of like really jam. Delicious little earthy snacks.
I don't know. It's nice to like, if you want to buy Cheez-Its, they're priced normally versus like $15.
You're saying they don't raise prices?
Yeah, like between they airport don't and inflate the prices.
I see.
And airport great, prices. Actually. And I didn't realize that airports didn't do that.
Yeah.
I guess.
Are you guys big lounge puppies?
Yeah, baby.
I don't have lounge access.
I don't usually either. At some point I had, it came with my credit card, like the priority pass.
Yeah, priority pass.
But that like doesn't seem to work anywhere.
Not great in US. Not great. Yeah. It's good overseas. You know what does work really well that I did because I was traveling so much for Worth It and for work, speaking events and the like. I'm a Delta Sky member.
Oh.
And if you want to have lounge access, you can get the Amex. This is like an
Centurion?
Amex. It's like the, I forget which one it is.
It's the Centurion.
Is it that one? But you get the
I know this because I talked to someone about it and they're like, it's not worth it.
No. But
it is?
You get the Delta lounge through the Amex card.
Here's the thing with those lounges. Some of them are like kind of cool. Most of them I've been in, they just have like bowls of peanuts.
No, you get real food.
I guess I haven't been in any that have like incredible food.
Oh no, the Delta ones, the food is amazing.
Yeah,
I'm saving money. Maybe I'm not saving money, but like
hand over fist. Are you buying are you buying plane tickets just to go there and eat?
The one you took us to, I don't know. You scooped us all up and took us in before our Korea trip and or our last Korea trip.
And yes,
it was really nice. They had good food.
The one time I had really good food was when VidCon paid for me to go on business class, and we went into the
British Airways.
What's the American one called?
It's called the Centurion.
No,
I used to be an American I used to be an American ambassador, so I should know this.
I remember this.
I can't remember
the captain's quarters.
The
Admiral's Club.
Yes.
Yes, I do remember they had the food that they had was like roast salmon and green beans, and they had like a fridge full of beer, and I was like, okay, well, this is good. But then I looked it up and it's like so exorbitant that I was like, I'm never gonna pay for this.
Yeah. That's what you gotta take it from the lounge.
Yeah, take it from the lounge.
And that deal, by the way, I used to be in that the airplane ambassador deals, little scoop on what it's like to be an influencer like yours truly here.
Well, you travel a lot more for, I mean, we're traveling for ghost hunting, but we're going to, Kansas. You're going all,
everywhere.
With Worth It, you were traveling to a lot of cool places that, internationally and stuff.
They don't pay well, but what they did pay in was miles.
That's good.
And so I got, it's crazy. I got paid 1,000,000 miles to use.
What do you do? What does that translate to?
Yeah, I can't.
I don't understand miles.
Calculate.
Literally miles? Is it literally miles?
So you can use those to buy.
I want to go to New York. That's
I think it's like $10,000 worth of value or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I was flying for free for personal stuff for like 2 years.
Whoa.
That was amazing.
That's great. I'm good jelly. For you.
I flew business to London from LA on that. It cost me like 300,000 miles or something like that.
I can't imagine. I don't ever want to let myself get accustomed. Like the, I said, I think I've only flown business on that one trip and it was wonderful, but I'm like, I can't get used to this.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's like, it would be wonderful, but
I love, the premium economy, like the one level up,
or yeah,
for international
like
stuff,
6 extra inches of leg room, or
yes,
something.
7.
It was very funny when Sarah and I were like a year or two ago when we were like, for our honeymoon, we're gonna be flying first class, baby. We're gonna treat ourselves. And then when we were booking airfare, we were like, well, we'll just get some extra leg room.
But it's great, right? It's like, it is like, it's really nice, the extra 6 or 7 inches.
Yeah. I did get first class when Sarah and I flew to Chicago for our wedding, there and back.
Oh, that's nice.
But that was like, you know, LA.
That's not like, you don't.
LA to Chicago out. First class is like different than first class international.
Yeah, it's like a seat this size.
It's just a big seat. And they, and we were like, we'll have champagne, please. And we did. And it was real nice. Yeah. It was fun. It was fun to get married.
I'm still economy all the way. I can't bring myself to pay anything extra.
No, same.
I understand. But also, like, tall people, it's different.
Yeah, I have short legs.
It is different.
It is different, but I'm fine in economy, generally.
I'm fine, but, like, I just, you know, I just want to spread my legs.
You're a tall guy, too.
Different.
What are you, 6 feet?
I'm 6 feet tall.
Damn. I always forget.
Weird hearing you say, damn, that I'm 6 feet when you're, like, 6'4".
I just forget. Garrett Werner and I talk about this a lot, where it's like a... I don't process the height of anyone.
Oh, because you're just so much. Yeah, because you're like.
But you're a tall guy.
In the clouds.
Matt, you're tall?
I'm extremely tall.
We are. How tall are you?
Yeah, no, I'm tall.
I think Matt's like 6'3".
Yeah.
You're 6'3"?
Yes, as far as you know.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Should we have people guess Matt's height in the comments? Because they've never seen you ever. So.
That's true.
Not in any other context.
Yeah, guess. Either. Based on the sound of my voice.
Oh, that's a fun game. Can we guess some celebrity heights?
Sure. To end off the pod.
Yeah, all right, we can do this.
Do you like this game, Andy?
Is this a reoccurring game?
And now it's time for How Tall?
Sarah and I do this all the time with celebrity ages, and we're pretty good at it.
We've talked about celebrity ages, but it seems less fun to do.
Yeah, in a height is more fun. Yeah.
All right, I got you. I'm just going to just rip off.
Okay, you're just going to start with someone?
Yeah.
There was someone that was really shocking. I remember it was in a message with you, me, and Ryan, but I can't remember.
Barack Obama?
It was Tom Hardy.
Oh, wait, how tall is Tom Hardy?
Tom Hardy.
Well, you can't be in it.
You know the answer, Annie?
You know the height.
Maybe.
I think he's 6'2". Wait, no. 5'8".
I feel like Tom Hardy's a short king.
5'8".
Was this the misconception? If it's surprising, then I would guess he's taller. So I would say 5'11".
5'9".
I thought he was like 5'6" for some reason.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I remember us talking about it.
I got one for you.
Okay. Venom.
Okay.
Venom.
Starred recently in Roadhouse alongside Conor McGregor. How tall is Jake Gyllenhaal?
Oh. Taller than Taylor Swift.
Is he? Yeah, he must
probably
be.
I mean, she's what, 5'11"? 5'9"?
She's like 5'10 or something.
5'10. So I'm going to guess 6'2".
I'm going to say 6 feet even.
Oh, six foot. Actually, I'm going back to 6.
I'm going to guess 5'11".
Jake Gyllenhaal stands in at an even 6 feet.
Hey.
Great job.
And I did the math because I saw him and Tom Holland standing
next to
each other.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you met him and locked eyes with him.
No, I don't know what I would say to him.
I think he's...
You're weird, maybe?
I wouldn't say that to him.
You'd say, this conversation has run its course.
He's kind of scary. He's got an intensity, I think.
That's...
Yeah, he does.
He was taking steroids for sure.
Did we guess Maggie Smith?
No comment.
Did we guess Maggie Smith in the last round of this?
No.
Because I always thought that she was a little lady.
Okay.
Because remember the motion picture Hook?
Sure.
She plays old Wendy.
Okay.
A frail little old lady. And I think she's like
huge.
All right. Well, I got another we'll do Maggie Smith right now, but you're already in it.
5'6".
Maggie Smith.
She OBE? CHDBE.
What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Is that good for aches and pains? Rub a little of that on your thighs or
whatever? I don't know what that means. I'm doing something else over here. Wait, what is CHDBE? All right, everybody's like height's on Maggie Smith.
She might be tall and willowy in my brain, so.
Well, you know, Shane did just say huge.
I'm pretty sure she's, I'm going to say 6'1".
We're talking Maggie Smith.
6'1".
All right.
5'9".
I said 5'6".
Steven wins. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Maggie Smith is 5'5".
She was enormous.
All right, last one here.
I could have sworn she was like a giant. Maybe I'm thinking of Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah. Well, it could be.
Yeah.
I
might be thinking of Gwendolyn Christie.
Was.
Yeah, she is huge.
Yeah. Essex. What is CHD?
So who you got locked and loaded there?
Star of stage and screen. Maybe just screen. The most recent film, Dune 2. Florence Pugh. Everybody.
Pugh.
Now everybody knows.
That's a good.
Everybody knows her.
Everybody knows why.
Right? I mean, size wise. Yeah. Knows.
I don't know. Five eight.
How do we know?
Oh, okay. I thought it was very obvious, but
I don't know. I don't understand.
What ballpark you should be?
I haven't seen Dune 2.
Is there a...
You've seen her.
No more discussion. Everybody lock in your answer.
5'8".
Has she been... Is there a movie where she's standing against like a ruler?
Wait, just 5'5". 5'5", actually.
Okay.
5'4".
5'.
And you don't have to...
5'5".
I might be confusing her with Lord... Who is another? Well, they're both very relatable, down to earth, and Lord is short.
Okay,
wait, maybe she's not. can we do Lord after this?
I guess.
Thank you. Okay, 5'4", locked in.
Florence Pugh stands at 5'4".
Whoa, nice. We were all close, but you were right on the dot.
I thought it was very obvious that she was on the shorter side.
Did not know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I guess Lord. Last
Lord.
One.
Lord, I think, must be taller than Pugh then. Is Lord taller than Pugh?
I saw Lord perform, Lord, and she looked kind of tall, but I was far away.
I think she's taller than you think.
But shorter than I think.
I guess she didn't have any... She had other women on stage, but...
Any deck of cards on the stage? You can kind of get a sense
of bananas.
Scale.
You know what? Lord has stood 2 feet in front of me.
When?
Well,
what?
You did bring up Lord. So I'm just remembering this
when we shot a red carpet thing at the Globes.
Oh.
Lord was one of the people who talked to us.
I forgot about your stint as a kind of...
I only did that host for one video. No, I was just manning the camera.
Oh, okay.
This was when I was an intern or a fellow. But
wow,
I was...
That was young,
I
Lord.
Was on a step, so... I don't, and I also have no memory of how tall
so
she
you would have
was.
Been like 6'9".
Was she eye to eye to you? Was she below you? And
I don't think she was eye to eye to me. Well, I'm going to say 5'8". 5'8".
Wow.
There's no way.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I don't think she's more than 5'6".
I think she's, I'm going to guess 5'5" again.
5'6".
Can't wait to see the retention on this portion of the show. Lord stands at 5 feet. 5.
Hey.
Great job, man. And that's going to do it for half.
Wow, that was fun. This is one of my favorite games we play.
It's a good game.
I really like that game.
Good game.
I really like that
and
game.
And seemingly endless number of people to guess.
Okay. Yeah, you could guess anyone.
Shane, if you had to choose one game, Fortnite or How Tall for the rest of your life, which one are you going with?
Can I say both?
Nope. Okay. That's the point of the game.
Because we could play How Tall while playing Fortnite.
Oh. Now, speaking of, that's actually very interesting because Fortnite has to scale everybody to the same height.
Isn't that crazy?
So, oh, really?
So yeah. The Hulk is next to, you know...
Peter Griffin.
And they have to squeeze the Hulk down.
So Ellen Ripley is the same height as a Xenomorph.
And we've seen that.
Together, okay?
But yeah, the Hulk has to be... He still has to look big. But they have to scale him down, so he's kind of just
like. Can they? Crazy. Do they have to be the same width and height?
Not the same width.
Okay,
though,
so he can be like.
Though there are a few skins where the increased width affects the hitbox, which...
Same with Valorant.
I don't know what that means.
Is that true with Valorant as well?
Yeah, some people
have
bigger features.
Interesting. I gotta play more Fortnite.
Yeah, choose one.
I'll play Fortnite.
Oh, wow.
On podcasts, I'll play this game because it wouldn't be fun to hear me playing Fortnite on a podcast.
Until we do.
Every game I've played lately, I've been dying like immediately. Like I'm the only one on the team. I'm really bad at it.
What a great podcast. Thank you for joining us, Annie.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Sorry. This is my first podcast ever.
Well, you nailed it. And it's an honor to have this be your first podcast.
Talk about Pokemon.
Yeah. It was nice to talk about Pokemon. I learned a lot.
I love to talk about Pokemon.
How tall is Pikachu?
They have heights.
Okay, let's.
All right, we gotta end Pikachu. The pod.
Let's close out the episode with how tall is Pikachu.
And before, last thing we're gonna say is the height of Pikachu.
So okay. That's good. Okay.
So the last thing we'll say, but also before we end, we do have to say again: subscribe if you can, rate us, leave us a comment.
Absolutely,
it helps us a lot.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate it.
Yes.
And now we play How Tall is Pikachu?
How tall? Pika.
Does he do that one sometimes?
Pika's pretty small. He does.
He's pretty small?
Pretty small. He's a rat.
He's a rat.
Or he's a mouse, sorry. Is it a mouse or a rat?
He's a mouse.
Mouse, sorry.
But I
think he's a mouse and then he becomes a rat.
Is like the animated series a good representation of his size? Because
yes,
I can
probably.
Picture him next to Ash.
Do you know how tall Ash is?
No, but he's a boy.
He's a boy. Probably like 5'8".
He's kind of lanky, though.
5'8". He's 10 years old.
Forever 10.
How is he 10 and by himself going through and becoming world champion of Pokemon?
People are capable of amazing things.
I'm trying to imagine. Would Pokemon Go also be accurate in this regard?
I don't think so.
No. 2 feet.
I'm going to say 1 foot four. 1 foot four.
I'm going to say 1 foot.
16 inches for me.
I used to know this information, but...
Wow.
I'm glad I don't.
All right, Matt, close the pod for us.
Pikachu stands at 1'4".
Wow!
That's crazy!
Yeah!
Bye, everybody.
World champion, Shane Madej.
See you next week, everyone.
Bye.